Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series of studies, preparation for the end time. Today, Christ in His sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary. What does that mean for your life to know that your awesome Savior is interceding? He's praying for you. He's ministering the benefits of His atonement on your behalf. It's going to be an exciting study, and we're glad you joined us. And welcome to our team. Have you been blessed by this series?
Amen. Yes.
You know, the message I'm getting is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit not only want me to be ready for the end time, but lots of His children. Yeah. We've got an amazing message to share, and today's topic is going to be a great blessing. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world, and we'd like you to write to us. You say, well, you can't read them all, I know, but it brings us joy to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And if you follow us on Facebook, Hope Sabbath School, we have a massive number of followers there. Send us a picture, we'll put it up and have the global family pray for you. It's great to be part of Hope Sabbath School family. Adeline writes from Saudi Arabia and says, Adeline says, I am a nurse in Saudi Arabia. Being here, there's really no freedom to practice one's faith except Islam. Oftentimes, I just stay in my room or meet with a few friends to study the Bible and have fellowship together. I'm so blessed to have downloaded the Hope Sabbath School app.
Amen. Amen.
You know, there's a donor couple that donated the $500. That was a miracle in itself to produce our app. And I just want to say thank you to that couple today. You know who you are and where you live. They said that's the best investment we ever made, now used in 150 countries around the world. Amen. And we can write down Saudi Arabia as one of them. I stay in my room. I've downloaded the app on my phone. Whenever I'm just alone, I tune in to the weekly app, and I'm able to study Hope Sabbath School with you.
Amen. Amen.
You make the program very interactive, and it makes it easier for viewers to understand what the Bible is talking about. Thank you once again. I'm praying for Hope Sabbath School that you'll be blessed more and more and can touch more lives that need the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And there's no walls, are there? Mm-hmm. Where that signal can go, the message can go. Yes. Thanks for writing to us, Adeline. Here's a note from Cheryl in Jamaica. Do we have any Jamaicans that would like to wave? Two. Okay. Happen to be sitting next to each other. Cheryl writes, she says, I'm from St. Catherine. Does that ring a bell?
Yes.
I've been watching Hope Sabbath School for almost 2 years. I have become a better ambassador for Jesus Christ by watching Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
You make the Word of God come alive in my life. Thank you so much. Because of Hope Sabbath School, I don't just read the verses that are in the study anymore. I want to read the whole chapter because I have such a hunger for the Word of God.
Amen.
May God bless you richly. I look forward to meeting you all in the earth made new. Amen?
Amen.
You know, that's a wonderful thing when we get a greater hunger. Jesus promised, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for
they
shall be filled. That's a beautiful promise. Now, I want to say to the person writing from Ghana, we don't have anyone on our team from Ghana today, right? We do at sometimes have Ghanaians on our team. But I like your name. The name is God Bless.
Wow.
God Bless. So when Mommy and Daddy saw that little baby, they said, God Bless.
Amen.
And that's the name. Praise the Lord for Hope Channel. I just can't afford to miss your program for even a day, especially how you allow the scriptures to reign in your discussion and not just your individual ideas.
Amen.
May God Almighty keep blessing us while we prepare for our eternal home. Amen?
Amen.
That's so beautiful. God bless you. God bless. Thanks for writing to us. Here's a donor writing from Maryland. Said, thank you so much for the ministry of Hope Sabbath School. I really enjoy the program. I was watching today, and you mentioned how donors can support the program. So I'm sending a check for $500.
Amen.
And I'm praying that God will bless Hope Sabbath School and the staff and the viewers around the world. Well, I want to say thank you. We don't read donors' names, but we can be part of the great miracle of God, right? Amen. And I want to thank each one of you that support Hope Sabbath School with your prayers and with your financial support. One last note from Julia in Namibia. Now, we're learning about Namibia. We get a few emails from Namibia, don't we? Former German West Africa, north of South Africa on the West Coast. My name's Julia, but I'm from the northeast part bordering Botswana. I just want to say thank you for the good work sharing the good news so clearly. Every week on Monday, I download the video of the Sabbath School study. Really helps me when I teach a class. I have archives of lessons, which I downloaded for the past 3 years. And I share those outlines with my colleagues. And they use them too in their classes. Wow. It sounds like it's just spreading. That's awesome. I like the scripture songs too. And I sing them with my five-year-old when we do household chores. It's awesome. It's amazing how God works. Keep up the good work, and God bless you all, Julia. Well, Julia, when you're singing scripture songs with your five-year-old, you're hiding the Word of God in her heart. That's a great gift. And thank you for not only teaching the Word, but encouraging other people to teach it too. Well, if you haven't heard the theme song for this new series on preparation for the end time, it's taken from Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. If you have a New King James Version, you can open your Bible and just read the words as we sing together. Download the MP3 file and the sheet music from the website, hopetv.org/hopess. We'll have a whole choir in 150 countries. Let's sing the Word of God together.
Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? Who shall not fear you, O Lord, for you alone are holy? Great and marvelous are your Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been
You know, I was remembering one time when I was teaching one of our Hope Sabbath School scripture songs to a group, and I was complaining a little because I really don't like to sing in front of people. And we know it's not about us, it's about the Word. And the Spirit of God rebuked me and said, "You still don't understand. It's not about you. It's about my Word." And I realize you probably thought, I never thought I would be singing on global television, right? But it's not about us, is it?
Right.
As that little five-year-old is cleaning the house with mommy and singing, the Word is being hidden in that heart. Mm. And I just got an email this week from someone in Romania. They said, could you send me the soundtrack without the vocals? Because I'd like to put it, sing it in Romanian.
Mm.
I said, well, don't translate the English. Just take your Bible, because, you know, we're singing right out of the Bible.
Yeah.
I said, just take your Bible, open it up to Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4. You may have to change the meter, if you know what that is, like, because it could be a little different if you do it in Spanish or Portuguese. But just sing it using that same music and make it fit. I said, I'll do it on one condition. You have to send me a digital recording of the church singing. So I'll have to share that with you. Amen. When it comes from Romania. We've already got them from as far away, I think, as Malaysia or Myanmar. Wow. Singing in their own language, the Word of God.
Amen.
And then we're going to pray today because we're talking about a beautiful topic, Christ in the heavenly sanctuary. What Jesus, our awesome Savior, is doing for us right now.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the privilege of studying your Word. And I thank you for our Hope Sabbath School members all around the world. Lord God, many of them may be facing much greater challenges than we face here. But I thank you that you, Jesus, ever live to intercede for them, that you are ministering on their behalf, on our behalf right now. Help us to understand the beauty of what the Scriptures teach as we prepare for the glorious return of Jesus. We pray this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to start with Romans chapter 8. I've entitled it God's Rescue Plan. Mm-hmm. And again, this is good news. Someone, you may be joining us for the first time. And if you are, we're partway through a series on preparing for the end of the world, which is not catastrophic as you're thinking. It's actually good news. Christ is going to return in glory. But if you missed anything in this series, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the whole series. But we're going to just review the rescue plan, and then we're going to talk about what Jesus is doing now. So Romans chapter 8, Nicole, could you read the first verse in our study, verse 3 of Romans 8?
Romans 8, verse 3 from the New International Version says, "For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh."
So God has a plan. What we were unable to do, God does through his Son. Amen. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The great prophet John the Baptist meets Jesus, Travis, and he cries out. How does that read in your Bible in John 1 and verse 29?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'"
Mm. Behold, the Lamb of God. Keep that idea in your mind. Go over to Revelation with me, to two verses in Revelation 5:12 and Revelation 13:8. This is not just something that John the Baptist made up. In fact, it's the picture from the beginning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But here in Revelation repeated. And Gary, would you read Revelation 5, verse 12? And then, Haiti, I'm going to ask you to read Revelation 13 and verse 8.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Revelation 5, verse 12. "Saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'"
So here's the heavenly host And I don't know how we'd put that in our own language, but they're just saying,
praise
be to the Lamb of God.
Yes. Yeah.
All right? Jesus, Lamb of God, John the Baptist says, now the heavenly host. Revelation 13, now in verse 8, Haiti.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb, I'm sorry, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Mm.
So this plan was from the very beginning. So help me, Kyle. I want my name written in the Lamb's book because it's also called the book of life.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
This Lamb's book. How do I get my name written in the book? I know it. I've never read a text that said I have to pay something to get my name written in the book.
Yeah, well, the text that comes to mind, I think in a previous study we read a text, I forget the reference, but it says, for he who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Right. So Romans 10, verse 13.
Amen. So when we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the grace of Jesus Christ.
You mentioned, Travis, in a previous study, the prayer of Peter, Jesus, save me.
Yeah.
Or Lord, save me, right?
Save me.
But that was just from sinking in the water. But you're talking about save me from sin, its penalty and its power.
Amen.
Save
Amen.
Me. Mm-hmm. We might even say, write my name in your book.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Write my name
Amen.
In the Lamb's Book of Life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. I was listening to Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and he was saying, you know, Christians argue about how Jesus accomplished our salvation. Could we just agree that he did?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure I upset thousands of theologians, and I'm not saying we shouldn't study the depths. Sure. In fact, I think we'll be studying the plan of salvation for all eternity. Mm-hmm. But you could be so upset arguing about that you missed the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Could we at least agree that through Jesus, God worked a plan for our salvation?
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's what it means that we have to become like a little child. Mm. Now, I know I'm going to get 1,000 emails on that one because I believe in studying the Word. Line upon line, Amen. Precept upon precept. I think we can learn more of the amazing revelation of God through the coming of Jesus.
Amen.
But let's not just argue theology and not accept the plan.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
First Timothy, who has that? Chapter 1, Andre?
Yes.
Verses 15 through 17.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Mm. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Christ Jesus might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Man. Is there anyone here, and this is not a staged question because I don't know if you'll answer or not, but is there anyone here that struggled with the thought, I have done too many bad things or committed too many sins that God can't save me? Travis?
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But God is good.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm feeling his emotion right now. That's why I'm not responding right away. But Paul said, if you knew everything that I have done, I mean, I, Saul of Tarsus, I forced people to blaspheme the name of Jesus. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. I don't know. I guess God had to heal his mind or just comfort him on those nights that he'd wake up. Have you ever woken up in a sweat and said, God, thank you for saving me? Thinking what he saved us from? Paul says, Christ died for sinners.
Amen.
I'm the worst one. I don't know if he was, But he felt that weight, didn't he, mm-hmm. Andre?
I mean, some time back, I shared a testimony of when I was in college, I committed a crime, and I was the sentence would have been at least 20 years. Mm. And
a little bit shocked because you always talk about, you know, working for the Lord, but God rescued you.
He rescued me, and I was sharing it. My sister-in-law had never heard the story, the testimony. Mm. And so I was there in California, their home the other day, my brother and her. My brother's like, tell her the story. And I told her, but when I got to one part, I broke down into tears because it was then that I realized that even though I was guilty, they had the proof. I remember a U.S. Marshal coming to the holding cell and opening it up and saying, Mr. Campbell, you're free to go. And the men inside with me who were questioning me looked shocked and upset and were powerless because they were basically outranked. And I was free. And I actually looked at him and was like, are you sure? And he was like, well, you can stay if you want. And when I got down...
Don't argue too much.
Yeah, no, don't.
When I got down to the lobby of that place, my brother was laying prostrate on the marble floor, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. And it was at that moment that it struck me that it was God that sent his Holy Spirit to release me. And then at that moment, I was like, man, could that U.S. Marshal have been an angel? Because these men were powerless to stop me. I walked out free. It was like Paul and Silas, the chains came off, and I walked up out of that place. And that to me is just, it just showed me right then and there, God will, his mercy is everlasting.
Amen. Amen.
And what are you doing today, Andre?
I'm a pastor for the last 20 years.
All right. And Travis, I know you've been a very successful businessman, but what are you doing today?
Lay evangelism. And
telling people about Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
Powerful. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to talk about how good he is right now.
Amen.
Because we're going to go to Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. You know, let's just be thankful for what God has done. We may not be able to explain all the details, but let's accept that. And that is also true about the heavenly sanctuary. What Christ, we may not understand all of that, but we know he's doing something for us right now.
Amen.
Sean, how does your Bible read in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man.
Mm. Amen.
The whole book of Hebrews is saying that Jesus is better. He's better. He's better than the angels. He's better than the Aaronic priesthood. He's better. And now it comes to the whole point is that we have such a great high priest and his name is Jesus, Son of God, ascended, raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now ministering for us in the heavenly sanctuary. What does it say? The true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. So Jesus, Son of God, is not just standing around or sitting around waiting until finally it's time to say it is finished. He's coming back in glory just like he promised. He's involved in a ministry. Let's take a look at some more about that. And then I want you to share with me how it impacts you in your life today to know that Jesus, your loving Savior, is ministering on your behalf. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 and 27. Ranella, could you read those verses for us?
New King James Version is what I'm reading from, Hebrews 7, 26 to 27. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this did once for all when he offered up himself.
Amen. What's the difference between our great high priest Jesus and the priesthood that went before him?
Once was enough.
He was the offering. Mm.
Okay, several things are different. Let's unpack it. One, which is the mystery, because he's not only the great high priest, but he's also the Lamb of God.
Yeah,
right.
Amen.
I've told people, when you're talking about the sanctuary, if you don't know what something means, just say Jesus. Right?
Amen.
It's all pointing to Jesus. Mm. He's both the Lamb of God and the high priest. But what distinguishes him from the earthly high priest? Several things. Mm-hmm.
There was one sacrifice.
Okay. One perfect sacrifice once for all, right? For how many?
All.
Everybody.
The whole world. And what else distinguished him from the earthly high priest?
The earthly high priest had to sacrifice for their own sin, where he was sinless.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no sacrifice that he makes for himself, right? He knew no sin. And he does it once for all. Which brings us back to the remarkable thought, if it was a perfect sacrifice once for all, how many people can be saved?
All. Every last one.
And there are some people that say, I believe that everyone's going to be saved. Is that what the Bible teaches?
No. No.
Provision has been made.
Provision has been made for everybody to be saved.
He will draw all men to himself, he said. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men.
Okay, you're quoting from John chapter 12. Okay. Verse 31 and 32, right? Mm-hmm. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Mm-hmm. And will all accept and say, write my name in the book?
No.
Sadly, no.
Will all be drawn?
Yes.
All will be drawn, and we'll have to make a choice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Let's look at one more verse in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. Nicole? Hebrews 9, 11 through 15. It's describing the work that Jesus, our awesome Savior, great high priest, is doing.
So the New International Version of Hebrews 9, 11 through 15 says, but when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Mm.
Now, that's not really simple reading, is it? Like, God is love, or, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
But what is it telling us? Christ, when he goes to minister on our behalf, he doesn't need to take the blood of animals with him. Why?
His blood is sufficient.
It's sufficient. Yeah.
Right. Actually, the blood of animals just pointed forward
to
the perfect sacrifice. He himself, comes in to minister his sacrifice on our behalf. Alyssa?
And I also heard here that he said the blood of the animals could, make you clean on the outside, but his blood goes inside and transforms you from the inside out to truly do what's right.
Amen.
Right. So let's think about that right now. How often do you pause and think about what Jesus is doing for you right now?
Every day.
Not often enough.
Every day?
Every day.
Every day?
Not often enough.
Not often enough. Yeah. Huh? I'm thinking of Jesus when he spoke to Simon Peter. He said, Simon, Simon, I have prayed for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He said, actually, Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat. In other words, you're under attack, but I have prayed for you. Now, that was during his earthly ministry, that your faith would fail not, right? Mm-hmm. So now, as our great high priest, he's interceding for us. Mm-hmm. So what do you think he might be praying for you today? Mm. Mm. He knows your name, right? Mm-hmm. Father, I'm bringing Nicole before you today. I'm bringing Ray or Stephanie, Sean. What do you think he might be praying for you? Could it be different for each one of us, or is it kind of a standard prayer, do you think?
Might be different.
Different.
It could. I mean, we have everything in common. Like, Father, save them. You know, keep.
Yeah. Well, I'm not to make the answer generic, but I do think just as how he was praying for Peter, that was what Peter needed at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's doing the same thing for us. He's weighing out all the things that, you know, Satan is trying to throw at us, and he's going, no, okay, yeah, they can handle that just for our salvation. And we all have unique challenges, but we typically face the same adversaries. So I think from that perspective, he's interceding on, you know, my specific characteristics that need to be brought up to his standard, to his ideal. So,
you know, I'm thinking in the great high priestly prayer in John 17. Yeah. You know, I'm not praying that you would keep them from the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm sure he's praying spiritual protection for us. Mm-hmm. But again, we have to choose to accept it, right?
Right. Yes.
Just like we accept the armor of God. Andre?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I'm seeing here, when I go back to Hebrews 9, it mentions in let's go 15. At the end there, it talks about those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And so it seems that, to me, that he wants us, more than anything else, to recognize that he has granted us his power through his Holy Spirit. And if we grasp that, then there's nothing that can be held from us. And so it sends me back to Ephesians, if we may.
Yes, absolutely.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay. Give us a moment to find. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse
11.
All right.
And onward.
And it's, and how many verses do you want to read?
Just to 14.
Okay.
Yeah, 14.
I happen to really like this chapter, so yeah. thanks for taking us there. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. And what translation?
I'm reading from the New King James translation. Okay. And really digging into the Holy Spirit and that eternal inheritance. So it says, in him also have we obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Yeah. And so here, especially in 14, we see that the Holy Spirit, it's a guarantee. When you purchase a home, you put an earnest payment down. And so it's like he's given us, he's like, look, if you miss this, you've missed, you know, it's just like missing the understanding of God's love. If you miss this, he's giving us his Holy Spirit now, prior to the full glorification. Mm-hmm. And so it's like he's like, look, don't miss out on the power that I've granted you through my Spirit.
Mm. Amen.
Jonathan, I'll come to your point, Kyle. Jonathan, I know you work with IT and computers, and you know, I have to tell you, growing up, I really struggled with how God could care for each one of us and process all of our prayers, you know, because my mind's fairly limited. what are we learning even in technology that tells us that an infinite God could crunch a lot more data than we could imagine?
If mankind can make Google, which can process everything and take any question and find all the different ways you might find answers, I mean, it's amazing what mankind has done, then certainly God, who is infinite, can do way more than we can imagine.
So you actually do believe, back to what John said, and then I want to come to your point, Kyle. You actually do believe that our great high priest, who, by the way, is not only fully human, Jesus of Nazareth, but he's fully God, right? Mm-hmm. The eternal Word, Son of God, that he can actually process all of those prayers, and who helps with the
Holy
prayers.
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit helps in that process, right?
Yes.
that he can actually process all of that, even individual needs that we have. Does that kind of make your head spin just a little bit? Wow.
Just a lot.
Just a lot, said Sean. But would we not do a disservice to a great and awesome God to shrink him down to what we think we could handle? Mm-hmm. Talk to me, Kyle, about how the great high priest might be praying for you today.
Yeah, I was thinking, and I mean, well, first of all, I mean, God is so amazing. I mean, he's so much bigger than anything we can imagine. I mean, how does he know all the needs? But we trust him. He does.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, you know, how many of you have been in the place where you're praying for someone, right? Like you've got your list either on your phone or you've got a card where you write your family names or you're praying for people and you're praying that they would know Jesus, that they would be in heaven someday. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine that Jesus, I mean, I don't know if he writes, but I mean, he wants us to be with him. And he's praying. I think that's the heart of his prayer, is that we would be with him. And as you mentioned, John 17, I just wanted to take us to that one verse.
Is that verse 25, 26? Where he says, I pray that they would be with me and see my glory.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite verses.
let's see, verse 24.
24?
And
okay, let's give us a moment to find it. John chapter 17. This is the great high priestly prayer. So it's very much related to what we're talking about, right?
Yes.
And you're looking at verse
24.
24, all right. And what translation will you be reading from?
And I'm reading from the New King James Version.
Okay.
And I just love this because it just shows the heart of the love of Jesus for us. It says, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm.
So that prayer that he prayed, this is right before he lays down his life for us, right? Mm-hmm. That prayer that he prayed in the presence of his disciples,
yes.
He also prays for us, not only for them, but those who will believe in me through their word, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He prays that we would, so part of his prayer would be, Father, I'm just interceding that Kyle would be with me and see my glory.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And we think when we pray for someone, you know, we have that desire that they will be with God. Jesus has that desire even more than we can understand. Mm-hmm. He loves them more than we ever could. And so that's so comforting to know that God is praying for me and for all the people I'm praying for too.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Certainly wanting our salvation, wanting us to see his glory. You're saying it's customized for each person. And how are the angels connected to all of this? Or are they all just standing around too? Nicole, there's this whole, can I use the word massive plan in operation to save as many as possible, right?
Well, I was thinking, because Kyle said it, people come and ask you, can you pray for this? Can you pray for that for me? We have to write it down and we try and remember to pray for it. But God knows.
Amen.
And Jesus knows. And so it doesn't even have to come from our lips necessarily for him to know what we need. Mm. That's just so comforting to know that just the utterance from our heart, he can translate, that can be translated to him to understand what Nicole, what Kyle, what Stephanie, what we each need to be with him in his kingdom.
Amen.
Every day, every moment.
I think Nicole's opened a crucial point here because he already knows our need. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our great high priest, he knows exactly what Ray needs today. Amen. He knows exactly what Travis needs today, right? He knows exactly what every viewer who's joined us needs today. So why do we pray if he already knows? It's a very important question, Travis.
Because God is a loving God, and he doesn't want to do anything against our will. And he is waiting for us to come to him and give him permission to intercede in our lives.
So it's when we cry out to him, just like saying, Lord, save me, or Lord, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're opening our hearts. People get upset with me sometimes when I say we're giving God permission. They're like, what? He's the sovereign God. That's true, but I could say no. Mm-hmm. Right? So we're opening up our lives. There's a beautiful quotation, a little book called Steps to Christ. And it says their prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend.
Yes, amen.
But it goes on, it says, not that it's necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but to enable us to receive Him.
Amen. Amen.
Prayer doesn't bring God down to us. It brings us up to Him.
Amen.
So you're right on track, Travis. It's when I pray to the great high priest and say, you know, thank you for interceding for me.
Amen.
I'm opening my heart. I'm opening my will. I'm saying yes to whatever God wants to do.
Yeah. He wants a relationship. Mm. The quote you just said had the word friend in it. He wants us to have that relationship, that bond with Him that if we ask, we know that He's going to fulfill, and He's ready and willing to fulfill.
And part of that high priestly ministry, and we'll have some more time to share at the end, but part of that high priestly ministry is the work of judgment. And there's this picture of the Day of Atonement. And when you talk to some people about the Day of Atonement, they're like, oh no, this is like really scary bad. But if the Day of Atonement is a final dealing with the sin problem right before the glorious return of Christ, I think we ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, great high priest, for what you're doing. So let's look at a few verses. Let's start in the book of Leviticus that speaks about this solemn day each year. Remember, the whole earthly sanctuary was just a type or a pattern of the heavenly. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 3 through 12. And Kyle, I'm going to ask you to read that for us, if you would. Leviticus 16, 3 through 12. And I realize it's talking about animals and sacrifices, but just think about what it's pointing to.
Leviticus chapter 16, verses 3 through 12, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kinds of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil.
So this is a solemn day. The high priest would go into the holy place, but only once a year on the Day of Atonement would go into the most holy place, inside the veil. And the piece of furniture in that most holy place was?
The
Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat, the cherubim covering, and inside the Ark was several things, but the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, little pot of manna, right? I mean, there's a few things were there, but primarily the law of God covered by the mercy seat. And I'm glad that the mercy seat covers the law, aren't you? That's the gospel right there. So he goes in. Let's see what happens next, Ranella, in verses 13 through 15.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Mm. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Mm.
Mm. Now, the one thing our great high priest doesn't have to do is kill the bull for his own sin.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But there is this important event that's about to take place. Nicole, if you could keep reading for us in Leviticus 16, now verses 16 through 22.
And the New International Version says, in this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Mm-hmm. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on all the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times to cleanse it and to consecrate it from the uncleanliness of the Israelites. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness.
This was a solemn time. They were supposed to search their hearts and afflict their souls as there was a cleansing work that was taking place in the sanctuary. Mm. Andre, if you could conclude the section for us in verses 23 to 33.
Mm. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out and offer burnt offering and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar, and he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought into make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And the priest, who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place, shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes and holy garments. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly.
Now, as we read that chapter, and that was a pretty significant stretch of, what are you thankful for as you hear that?
I don't have to do it.
Exactly. Oh, I had exactly the same thought.
Oh, goodness.
I'm so thankful not only that I don't have to do it, or you don't have to do it, but that we don't have to do that anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm.
But it was a very solemn time of saying,
sorry.
sin has to be dealt with, mm-hmm. and there has to be a cleansing mm-hmm. that takes place. Now, there was some good news in there about being cleansed of all of your sins.
Amen.
That was pretty good news, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was this solemn sense that there's a final dealing with sin. Do you know what happened to the children of Israel who refused to participate in this Day of Atonement, Travis?
They were cast out. They were cast out from among the children of Israel.
They were cut off from the camp. Mm-hmm. There's this sense that we all have to participate in this sacred work. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that have to do with what our great high priest, Ranella, is doing for us now in the heavenly sanctuary?
Well, as we were reading this, and as you just asked that last question, I thought, wow, there are so many steps, so many different things that had to be done in order to completely cleanse the camp of sin. How much more when you're dealing with the universe? This was just a shadow of what's happening in heaven, this whole plan of salvation that's been unfolding. And this was just a shadow of that time at the very end when we're coming to the close and everyone is to be engaged in this process of asking in a very special way, God, is there anything between me and you?
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, as Jesus is interceding for us, as we are afflicting our souls, as we're thinking carefully, as the Holy Spirit is convicting us and we're offering them up to God, it's very encouraging to know that soon this whole process will be over and we'll live in a place, God will come again and we'll be able to live in a place of no sin. But until then, there's a process that we have to go through and it's a necessary one. And because we're living in that time, it's important for us to take this very seriously.
Amen.
I wish we had time to study the great prophecy in the book of Daniel, but the message of the first angel, somebody read for us in Revelation 14, verse 7, the message of the first angel tells us, well, what does it say? Anybody have it? Revelation 14, Gary, verse 7 says what?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Revelation 14, verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water.
It's time to get right with God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Because the hour of his judgment
has come.
If you use the language of Leviticus, you'd say we're living in the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the end time when sin is finally being dealt with, right? Yeah. We're living in the hour of the judgment. Now, if I'm not connected to God, knowing that he loves me and my name's in the book, how's that going to feel for me?
No, scary.
Fearful.
Yeah.
But if my name's in the book,
amen.
How do I feel? Right? I'm like it's almost over, right?
Yeah.
Now, there is one verse I want us to look at in closing after a few of you share, because I think it does motivate us to do some reflection, too.
Mm.
But if my name's in the book and I go, wow, we're living in that last stretch, it's almost over.
Yeah.
I think that's good news.
Yeah.
Right? Travis.
I just remember a verse in Daniel. It says, and judgment was made in favor of the saints.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So this judgment, it may sound scary, but judgment is made in favor of the people of God.
Sure. Those who've accepted what Christ has done for them.
Amen. And I think for me, as we were reading Leviticus, that word atonement just keeps impressing on my mind. And the reality is, Jesus doesn't want to be separated from us. God wants to be with you. The whole, that word, at one meant. God wants to be one with us again. Sin has separated us from him. My sins have separated me from God. But by his grace, because he gave his life for me, because he is interceding for me, I can be one with him again and one for eternity. That is the good news of the judgment.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. And there's one last verse I need Alyssa to read, if you would, in 1 John 3. And verse 3, because when we recognize, having said, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God.
Amen.
We're rejoicing in his love, in his salvation. But because we know we have the hope that we're almost home, how does it read in 1 John 3 and verse 3?
Uh-huh. In the English Standard Version, it says, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure."
Mm-hmm. Everyone who
hopes in him.
That's a little different. My Bible, everyone who has this hope or hopes in him purifies himself. How do we do that? Stephanie, isn't there something in Isaiah about someone changing his spots and, you know, how do we purify ourselves?
I think it's that living connection with Jesus, because John chapter 15, but that whole connecting to the vine, which is Jesus, when he comes in, he cleans us from the inside out.
You know, I think of that prayer, a beautiful prayer in Psalm 51, verse 10, where David comes. He's messed up, right? Like we all have. Maybe we didn't commit the same sins, but we've all fallen short of his glory. Lord, save me. Mm-hmm. And then he prays a prayer. Do you remember what it was? Create in me
a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Mm-hmm. But restore to me
the joy of your salvation
and uphold me with your generous spirit.
Amen.
God is on our side.
Amen.
Our great high priest, he's on our side.
Amen.
He wants us to be with him forever. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want us to be with him forever. And we have a choice to make.
Amen.
Living in the last times. Search me, O God, know my heart.
Yes. Amen.
See if there's any hurtful or wicked way, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's my prayer for you today. Maybe you say, Derek, I've never said, God, save me. Mm. I've never said, Jesus, write my name in that book of life, but you want to say so today. Maybe you're thinking of a loved one. We all know loved ones whose names have not been written in the book of life. Can we also pray for them today, that they would know that there is an awesome Savior who's also our great high priest, ministering on our behalf, wants us to be with him forever. Let's pray for ourselves and those we love just now. Father in heaven, someone's deciding just now to say, Jesus, write my name in your book. Save me. Be Lord of my life. And Lord, we're all thinking of people we love. We pray that you continue to show your love to them. Maybe you can use us, Lord, that they can know how much you love them. We know that we're living in the end time, and we pray that we would prepare earnestly by your grace for that glorious coming of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. So much more. But you know, as I think about preparing for the end time, I think about the joy of seeing Jesus face to face, seeing his glory. What an amazing joy that will be. Go out and tell that good news to those around you.